Hey fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hello fashionpreneurs, welcome back to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. I feel like we've been on a roll with some amazing guests. I've just been, you know, hitting y'all kind of hard. But I had to bring back an OG, one of my dearest friends, one of the realest from Chicago up in this thing. You was on a podcast like 2 years ago, I want to say.
I was.
And last week I was like, I want to talk shit with somebody. Who's the person to call? Let me call happy hour partner.
Right. We can get to some motherfucking things. So what's up? Are we here now? Let's get right into it.
So welcome to this amazing entry, you all. I wanted to talk about the bullshit of fashion.
So where do you start?
Where do we start? So I said, I'm going to call the amazing Dutch. So for those that may not know who the rich auntie is, who the amazing Dutch is, my partner in crime here, can you explain to the girls what's happening?
From Chicago, been in LA for 6 years.
Yes. Damn, I didn't know it was that long.
6 years, yeah, legit. This shit made 6 years. Wake up stylist. Entrepreneur, many businesses, the rich auntie of the rich auntie. The hat, boy in the hat. So, I mean, a couple of different names you can call me, but definitely call me the rich auntie if you're going to call me rich.
Oh, that's it. So, today, y'all, we're not going to be negative Nancy's. That's not even who we are. But we wanted to talk about the stress and the strain of what we deal with, having businesses that are both service-based and product-based. So you're a stylist, which is service-based. Yeah. You style some amazing clients.
That's also product-based too, because I can go in for a job such as like with Target and I don't have to style anybody, but they have me doing layouts with product and pieces. So it's like they're, and they can be very particular about how the bag is laying or how the top is folded. And you just like, it's a flat lay. Like you're just taking it on the ground.
Yeah.
But still, you still have to deliver a service and you still have to deliver your best work. Yeah.
Yeah, for that product.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the stress and the strain and the woes of being service-based because it costs a lot less to run a service-based business, but it's a lot of stress. It's you. You're selling yourself.
It's more footwork, I would say. It's not so much that you have to be, you have to sell a product. You have to sell, you have to sell your work. You have to sell what you can do and what you're capable of. Because a lot of people can say, oh, I do this and I do that. And then you see what they do and you be like,
that ain't it.
Yeah, that's not it. Yeah. But then you see somebody else and they don't really have to talk about it. And you can just be like, okay.
I see it.
You work really, really hard, really good work ethic. Mm-hmm. Like, you're very diligent about what you're doing. You don't want to leave the set until it's perfect.
Yeah. So
the people that you deal with, honestly, legit, you have to really analyze their work ethic and their craft and they delivery, because they can really be this person like, oh, I do everything and I do this. But once you get the feedback, it just be like, this is the shit you charging $2,000 for?
Yeah, and it happens all the time. So,
yeah, and you literally be mad like, I gave you the money or I didn't put down a deposit and this is the shit that I get back?
Yeah, we're going to get into these services versus product-based businesses. Both of them have woes.
No, facts.
And we were just talking about some of the BS that we encounter. So I wanted to get into that today. So we're just going to go for it, you know.
What's up?
Let's go ahead to hit. So tell me, I know you were just talking about services, so let's get into that a little bit further. So what are the service-based businesses that you have or that you're in right now?
So now services-wise, the COVID is like moving out the way. Like we're back to styling, but it's not full-on production because it's very limited about who's on set. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they will want you to just drop stuff off.
Okay.
So it's like, I'm trying to maneuver and figure out that entity of being on set, but making sure the client understand the look and understand the garment and understand the assignment, honestly. So it's like, That plays a part within everything that's going on in the world, but also just with being a stylist, creating a moment for somebody, creating a magical feeling for them. That becomes a strain on yourself because you want to make sure that they feel their best.
Yeah,
and you have to sometimes go for days without putting on a new outfit. You put on the same sweatsuit running around because you got to be out the house and be on set at 5 o'clock in the morning, or you got to go pick up something from FedEx because they didn't drop it off yesterday. Like it becomes a lot. On the body, on your car, on just like being around like working people, it just becomes more than what you expect. And so just with some services such as me styling or even just with me doing classes or doing consultations with people that want to be a stylist, that becomes a job because now I have to give you this diagram of telling you how to go about certain things, but it's also up to you to follow the rules, but understand that you have to make your own rules sometimes because it's not a set rule book because everybody styled differently. Everybody have a different kind of work delivery. Mm-hmm. But just being a stylist within the industry that I've been doing it for so long, I'm not in a place, I try not to overwork myself. Good. Like, I'm really taking it back, like, okay, like, if I get the job, I get the job. Yeah. Before it was like, oh, we gotta hustle, we gotta get a scene, we gotta go to fashion, we gotta do this, we gotta do that. But now it's like, if you want me and you want me to style you or you want me to work for you, you gonna hit me.
And you've been in the industry long enough where I feel like, and we're at that age, how you always keep me dying laughing, because whenever I invite this fool out for a drink or something, he's like, I'm an early person. You
get
gotta
me out
get me
before
out
8 o'clock. I have a window between 12 noon and 8 p.m. We can do whatever you want to do. We can go to the Jamaica and come back. We can do whatever you want to do. 8 o'clock, I might can. If I'm having a good time, I'm going to push it to about 9.
Yeah, because you was out late when
after
I came
that,
to meet you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's giving get me home soon.
I left you and went home and watched Netflix. That's
exactly.
All y'all staying?
But that's the thing. We was out since 12 o'clock noon, so I was like, since I'm already been out, let's just keep it rolling. But I'm not coming out the house at 8 o'clock. Don't call me at 8
down,
o'clock
so
like,
I got to go.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're lucky if this wasn't for 7 o'clock. I'd be like, girl, now you know. No shade. You know I love you down, but I'm like, let me pull up. I'm going to, you know, go out for a second.
Because we late tonight.
But it's okay. We here.
We here.
Yeah, we getting it done.
Okay, so. You mentioned a few different things that you offer. I know you have the styling, but you also do consulting for stylists.
Yeah.
So speak on that, because a lot of stylists come to me trying to work with the Fashionpreneur Academy. Yeah. I don't do styling.
Yeah.
So I only dedicate my time to emerging and aspiring fashion designers and wholesale buyers, boutique owners. So how do you go about working with stylists? How can they work with you? Because I didn't know you was offering this.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly started over quarantine. Everybody wanted to start a business and wanted to talk about how to develop certain things. And it's like, okay, if you want my time and you want me to give you these tools and these gems, it's gonna cost you. So we need a consultation. So I'm not gonna just be talking to you. But basically I legit give them like a diagram of how to go about getting a client that's for you, or even just pulling, because everybody don't understand how the money situation work with it, your pull fee, your wardrobe fee for what you're buying. And then places that only take a certain percent of what you spend back, and that you can't return everything. So you got to understand what you're buying, what you're returning.
Yeah.
You got to understand how the showrooms operate. You got to have a really credible name nowadays for you to go to the showroom to pull. Because now anybody can just say, I'm a stylist, so I'm going to the showroom, I'm going to pull something. So I had to break that down, how that goes, how to be timely and how to be very much professional, because you're a stylist and you're working for yourself. People don't understand. They get too friendly. I want to be on their phone. I want to be on the Snapchat and Instagram and all of that. But yet you're working. This is a job.
I love that you're offering this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to perfect it to really become, you know, a house of okay, you can come to me for this, and this is what we teach you. But also, I don't want to be like a school. That makes sense.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I was like, I want to have a program. Here you go. This is how you go about it.
But it's
also up to
course.
You. Yeah, it's also up to the person to take these notes and to take these different tools and apply it. I can only tell you so much.
Yeah.
Because if that worked out for me, that means it's going to work out for you, though.
Yeah.
Unless you apply. Take this, use it as the blueprint, and then you go and you tweak it for your own self and make it for your own business.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, by the start of quarantine, it's been good. I had at least probably 50 people come to me for it. So, it was kind of like, okay, this... As I go,
you're
I go.
Expert at it. Like, and I think you've reached a point, like you said, like you're a pillar in it where it's like, all right, I don't have to run around crazy. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and I was like, you know, I just don't work that hard anymore. And it's nothing you can say or do to make me. First of all, I'm drowsy by 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And I'm up at 6, sometimes 5:30.
But also, when you've been doing it for so long and we started from nothing.
I got somewhere now.
Literally. Now we have our spaces. We have different people working for us. We have a team now. So it's like, you have to start from the bottom. You have to be a team by yourself. So when you get to the part where you can have a team, it's like, hey, take control of this. Be in charge of this. So now you're delegating jobs to people.
Yeah.
And you can almost step back and just say, okay, if you need me, come to me. I'm in the office.
And
I don't have to be on the floor.
I
don't have to see. Yeah, you as you grow and your business is growing to become sustainable, you should not work as hard as you did in the first year or two, the first 5 years of the business.
And
it should be just...
I can't.
Every day, people are shopping. People know the brand. People know who the designer is. It's easy now.
Yeah, I felt like at first, like I had a season where it was like a revolving door. Every year, I felt like I was doing a lot of the same stuff, being scared to hire certain people in certain places. And then I got to a place where I'm like, yo, if you don't start hiring and delegating, it's going to be completely different. So I've been great at hiring. I've always had a team.
Yeah.
But one thing about me, I would put too much on each team member. So I started to disperse certain skills to each person. And now,
to see who's good at what, and therefore that's how everybody know what job to stick on. Everybody know what to do.
That's it.
You do your job, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do, and everybody just work. And we come together as a collective to say, okay, this is how this we're gonna complete this week.
But I'm putting more in my staff members' plates now.
Yeah.
See, but I'm giving them more in their current niches. So
but I feel now I feel as though with that, when the business is growing and the staff is growing with the business, they're understanding this is my task. Maybe when you do add something onto it, they know how to maneuver and not fuck it up.
That's it. Because so, I've been retiring out of IE for like the past 3 years. I'm saying this shit.
I legit just said my homeboy, I'm like, I'm about to retire from Island. I'm about to just, you know, be a teacher and just go about
that's
it.
That's it. But I feel like I've been saying it, but now I'm really, they're seeing I put the stones in place. Like, I got my staff there on. I opened a new bank account just to transfer money for them to be able to get things for the office. Like, I'm not coming down here.
Yeah.
I'm in a place where this is how you have your meetings. Today I taught my assistant something.
I'm only coming in once a week.
I sometimes don't even do that.
This is going to be FaceTime me, okay? If you need
FaceTime me if you need me, because I have to run the Fashionpreneur Academy, which I have students privately. I have a course that I have to respond to my students. That is my baby. Yeah. I'm on tour sometimes. I'm on and off flights. My family is in here. I got to travel home. Mm-hmm. I got so much other stuff. And I also have a few silent investment companies that I've run. So look,
girls are always working. That's why I love you.
I always work, honey.
You're always in.
So I gotta retire myself from this, and all I want to do is design. I want to give y'all the sketches, and I even got somebody to do that now, where it's like, I need y'all to run this thing, and I'm hiring y'all for y'all talent. Yeah. So, speaking of hiring, tell me, since we're talking about the bullshit, I have some stories about hiring. Tell me about one of your biggest lessons that you've had in employees or assistants.
I had one assistant.
You already know.
Right on it. And then what really blew me in the sense of it was just common sense.
Okay.
And the way that we do, so it was Black Friday a couple years ago. The way that we had it set up, we had a system. Everybody had a job. Mm-hmm. He had a job. Mm-hmm. And so the job that he had, it was to take the order form. The order is written on the back. The address is on the front. Take the order form, find the order, put it in the box. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to take the box. You put it in the box. And so as I was going through just, you know, making sure everything is right, this is Black Friday, so you know we gotta get the orders out right away. We gotta make sure everything is good. You don't want no returns. So it's like, okay, we got 300 orders within the first 2 hours of us releasing the sale. So I'm up, we're working at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We're up trying to get the orders out as soon as possible. And so I'm just happening to go through the first couple of boxes, and I'm just like, papaya, but this is yellow. This say mango, but this is pink. If you know color graphs and certain colors, you just know papaya is peachy, mango is orangey, yellowy. It just didn't make any sense. And I'm like, so therefore we gotta go through all the other boxes that's been taped to double check. So it was like you held us up, and I was like, yeah, after this, thanks for your services. Appreciate you, but I don't have time to fuck up, so I don't want you to fuck up on my time. Now I gotta correct it.
Now
we're holding back. Like, now we're delayed.
Yeah.
Pickup is at 9 o'clock in the morning.
So what would you say you learned in that situation that you won't do again? Like, is there anything that you felt like you dropped short of in that moment?
I think because when I brought him onto the team, it was somebody like one of the homies. Like, okay, you want to be in the fashion industry, so I'm going to look out for you because I want to make sure that I'm able to plug my people.
Yeah.
But also, when the person is not in love with what they're doing, they really can fall short on it. It'd be half-assed. Yep. So it's like, if I tell you, hey, Jess, I want to be a designer, but also I just want to get in and see how y'all moving. So the designer's going to fall short because I'm trying to be nosy on some other shit.
Yep.
So it's like, yo, you want to be in this industry? You got to really pay attention. You got to start small. And I guess because of the task I gave him, he's like, oh, we've been like homies for this long. No, you got to start small. You could have been taping the boxes.
You could have been my friend for 15 years, but you've been my employee for 10 days.
And that's different. And a lot of people, and this is why I don't hire your friends anymore. This is why.
Yep, never.
You got to understand friendship and business is two different things. Nope. We can kick it all day long. But when it comes to business, this is my baby. So therefore, now you fucking with my money.
That's it.
And I don't want to be that person. So therefore, I just be like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, we bowed out gracefully. Still a homie.
That's great. Yeah, that's a situation like that where I had a homie that was looking for a part-time job. I hired them to do shipping, and Shorty was on FaceTime, like, just talking in the middle of shipping orders.
This is not the post office.
Not even an AirPod. First of all, this is not the post office.
Like,
even if you had an AirPod, I would have been like, what's up? But, like, there's certain policies I put into play here. Like, and I love my girls. Like, they like little sisters to me. But they know if you come in here with flip-flops on, I'm sending you home.
Sure.
Like, it's sneakers over there for one of my girls right now. Like, she come in with her flip-flops, change her shoes. She always tell me, as soon as she come in, oh, I'm changing my shoes, Jess. I'm changing my shoes. They already know.
Yeah.
My girls know I want you to represent me in a certain way. My assistant comes dressed to the nines every day. I be coming in here with my little joints on. And she be bow, bow, bow. And she also knows how important it is for me to represent myself when we do have certain things going on. So I make sure that when I do step in here, I am dressed. But when it's a day like today where we're shooting all day, you go ahead and give me my slides. But she comes in representing me everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Hey, fashionpreneur. I hope you're enjoying this entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries podcast. But I wanted to take a moment and invite you to my brand new free masterclass, the Fashionpreneur A, B, C, and D. I want to give you guys the game on how I've been able to scale to see over 7 figures annually within this industry, and how I've been able to teach my students how to launch, profit, and do the exact same things. So let's get into the methodology. The A, accounting. I want to teach you guys how to definitely stay in the positive and stay profitable, but also make sure you're budgeting. So we're going to get straight to the money. Then we're going to get into the B, buying wholesale. I want you all to understand the importance of vendor relationships, where to find the vendors, but everything that you need prior to buying and styling. Then we're gonna get into the C, content creation, and the importance of having consistent and relevant content in this day and age, especially when you have a boutique or e-commerce brand. Then we're gonna get into the D, designing your collection as a beginner. I know it can feel intimidating and scary, but I'm gonna show you guys how to do this on a startup budget. I want you guys to make sure you are in class. Register right now at thefashionpreneuracademy.com/webinar, or just text us TFA today at 855-951-5188. I will see you in class, and let's get back to this entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. So I feel like you've seen a lot of staff members come and go through my doors. You have.
Hey girl, but also bad girl.
Bad girl. So I had to learn and master hiring. So I realized, I was like, yo, if it's this big of a turnover, what am I doing wrong?
And that's the key that we really have to zone in on. You have to know who you're hiring for the brand.
Yep.
And not to say, oh, I'm hiring them because they're cute, or I like the way they dress. No, but also this person resume in depth where they line up with what I'm looking for. Can she deliver? Can he deliver? And not just because, oh, he had a pair of cute shoes. No.
Or not just because I like their personality and I feel potential. Yeah. I see potential in them. So I remember a lot of people that didn't work out for me. One of them, I had two people that I had hired years ago when I first launched the Fashionpreneur Academy. They were actually students and they wanted to continue to learn. So they asked for employment. I gave, so two previous students, but like alumni, I had employed them.
Yes, alumni. Didn't work.
Alumni. They didn't. It didn't work though.
And that's okay.
Because you know what happens with that is sometimes, at least one of them in particular, it became a thing where like, I want to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's why I'm here, is to mentor you and guide you. But it's very important that you go about it with integrity and not in a way that's malicious. And that was what happened with one person. Then another one, I think it just got to a place where she just didn't care. She just wasn't even logging in, clocking in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang, okay. So I learned in that position, you cannot hire your mentees to be your employees.
Yeah.
Let them be exactly what they are. I talked to a student today that was like, you know, before we hung up on the call, she was like, oh, Jess, before we go, I was talking about what are your dreams? And she said, I want to be your friend. And she's like, I want to sit at the table. You are so dumb.
No, you want to be my friend.
It pulled me back a little bit because I was like, I was caught off guard. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be nasty or mean, because I'm a girl's girl. I love people. You know, everywhere.
But you're just that person. Like, you're that person. Like, you're literally like, you're the plug.
So
you look out. But also, you still have to differentiate being friends with somebody that wants work for you or that's in your class. We're not friends, girl.
I had a student like 6 years ago that we had drinks together. It was a big group of us. I did my first retreat in New York, and we all had drinks together. And I wasn't drunk. I would never even do that with my staff. Right. And I was only 24 at the time, and I knew better.
Yeah.
And I remember she sent me an email, like paragraphs, like a week after the event. She didn't pay for her next retainer for the following month, and she didn't have the funding. But she manipulated it and switched it into, well, you know, you had drinks with us, and it was unprofessional. And it just turned into these paragraphs. I mean, it was just absurd. Mm-hmm. And I learned in that moment, never, it sucks, but like, that's what happens. And I told the girl I talked to today, I said, you know, I've had experiences where I've gotten close to clients and I haven't ever considered any of them my friend, where I'm going to go to the club with them. I don't even do that, but like, I'm not going to do anything outside of talk business. Cause at the end of the day,
absolutely, that's how
that's
it
what
is.
We're here for. That's how the interaction and relationship got initiated. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, you know, I love the idea of getting to know people, but let's let it be organic. I want you to focus on what you pay me for, which was a service.
Yeah.
And I want to render that. And with that, it's going to come with us being in person, us having conferences and things. But I want to be very clear that, you know, my expectation, I don't want you to have the expectation. Friends don't have expectations for each other. We simply have a friendship and it molds and grows. And we do build expectations, but you have expectation of me starting you a clothing line. So let's just let it go from there. So I think all of this comes from learning. It's given, let's just let things grow.
Yeah.
And but I want when, you to but get when what things you want are from organic it, and
people, when I say they have to be really about what they want to do, it's going to work for you. But when it's you coming in on the, I'm going to slide in, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make it like this, it's not going to work. It's going to always fail. So what's for you is always for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I live by. Be consistent, and whatever's for you is for you.
Yeah.
And once it comes, it comes.
That's it. And we're going to be sisters. Like, we're gonna build a relationship no matter what, so you don't. And I think you guys need to really know that about networking, because it really bothers me when people come in and say, not even the friend thing, that's something completely different, but it bothers me when people come to me and say, you know, can you mentor me?
Yeah.
Or can you guide me? And can you do these things? And I'm like, okay, well, tell me what you have to offer. Can I see? I ask them in return.
Right. Which,
and I already know sometimes, like, I can't fit it in right now, but maybe in the future. And I ask, well, send me your resume.
I always ask for a portfolio.
I never get a resume.
You have any pictures? And you did a shoot, a test shoot?
Oh, no, I haven't done anything. I just want to come sit under you. Like, but there's somebody right now that's hungry, that probably already relocated to LA, that's going to school at FIDM, that's ready to eat, like my assistant was. Mm-hmm. She came in here 19 years old, eating. Like.
But everybody, you have to want it. Everybody don't want it. They just think, oh, we're going to put clothes on, we're going to go out, we're going to hang out.
Nah.
It's going to be easy. No, this is really blood, sweat, and tears. Like, this is real work.
I talked to Bree on the phone. It looked
fun
because
we're posting new stuff, but this is really work.
So Bree, my videographer here, she's doing all my social media for the academy. Now I need to get my shit
together. Period.
So let me tell you how Bree is from my city, from Baltimore. I put up a post on my Instagram, like, I'm looking for somebody. And I put up, like, a joke, but not really a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're from Baltimore, you get brownie points.
Right, and no, facts. You like, you from the crib, you already know.
You already know. If you're from the crib, you already know.
Yeah.
So I already relocated one of my staff members out here from Baltimore, and she's running my creative for IE now. So I was like, I need to get somebody out here. I talked to Bree on Friday, literally no expectations on the call. We literally was like, Bree, we need you to come out here on Tuesday.
Right.
Bree already didn't set up everything to relocate. That's what I need. If you're not a go-getter.
That's when you want something, you're going to, there's nothing stopping you.
So don't ask us for mentorship if you're not going to be willing to
come to me and say, here's my portfolio.
Boom.
This is what I've been working on. I've been doing test shoots with this person. I've been assisting this person. I've been building this up. Don't come and say, oh, I want to do this, or can you do this for me? No, you gotta work on your own to come to somebody with something to say, I've been working on my portfolio. I honestly love when people come to me and say, I did a photo shoot. It was my first shoot. Mm-hmm. Now we can talk about it. Now we can really engage into what's about to happen, how you're going to transform.
Yes.
Look at this from a year from now to the next year and understand, like, this is part of the growth. This is part of the process.
Yeah.
But you just can't say, oh, I'm a flat person, so I want to be a stylist.
No.
It's not going to work.
And the thing is, we love being educators. Yeah. We love teaching. You have it.
I mean, because, like, I feel as though we grew, I honestly feel as though it's a handful of entrepreneurs and business owners that literally didn't have nobody to look up to.
Yes.
And you figured your shit out. So now it's like we're at a point where if I got the time and I can share some gems, I'm able to. I'm not going to hold nothing back from you. Because what's for me is for me.
But you got to be mindful of when you ask for mentorship, it costs to have you on our team. Even if you think you're working for free, it costs to have you here.
Everything is a liability.
Everything is a liability. And it costs time for me to sit here and train you, for you to maybe lead. Like you said, it's a liability. So I think it's about having the confidence. And I have two interns on my team right now. I've never, ever hired interns for this long term. But I had expectations for them, because I feel like it's very important that you give expectations with interns.
Yeah.
So I told them, you know, after 30 days for one and after 90 days for the other, we'll come back and see what's the best fit. Both of them are now contractors, independent contractors in my company.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their own schedule. They do their own thing, but they have obligations. So it's like, but I mean, they came to me with a resume, qualifications. So don't just DM people and say, hey, I want to learn under you. Come to them professionally. What happened to professionalism? I think that's something
the shit that don't work no more. They lose it because everything is so fast paced and so fast. It's like, oh, you didn't take the time to go work in retail to understand how business works, to understand how a boutique works, to understand how shipping works, to understand how the POS system works. You didn't take the time to go work at a job to understand these training skills.
Yep.
So that's why I feel I'm so successful with my businesses. I worked in all high-end retail. I understood in everything I did, from management to supervising to selling to backstock. I did everything. Mm-hmm. So now I know how to run a business in a smooth manner.
Yeah.
A lot of people just be like, well, I'm gonna post a picture on Instagram. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Where's the work? When I first moved to LA, I'm like, the people don't work. Like, where's the work?
Nobody works. They go out 7 days a week. Like, the club is open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And then it's us up at fucking 5 o'clock in the morning.
Like, what's the problem?
Talking
like,
to people
doing?
Overseas, looking at new inspiration, getting stuff lined up. It's just a never ending cycle. And that's why I said, when you're from certain places in the world, your hustle is different. It's bred differently.
We come out here and we kill it every time.
Of course. And that's why I tell people, like, when it's not in you, it's not in you. And that's okay. Like, you got to find what works for you.
But you can tell just from initial conversations if it's in you. Mm-hmm. So I was the person that wanted mentorship, but I remember one of the first people I wanted mentorship with. I went to them with a portfolio, 16 years old. I went to Staples, got a portfolio printed. I didn't even have a license yet, I don't think. Got my mom to drive me up there, printed it in color, paid my little $12 for the book, went over it with them, said, this is my goal. And she said, see, this is why you're going to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
At 16, so how is it that grown people are just like DMing, like, hey girl, I would love to join your team? First of all, like, what
everything
happened
is
to professional emails?
Email
what happened
me.
To portfolios, resumes? What happened to a body of work? What happened to like still to this day, if I want to work with the influencer, we send a professional email and then we'll slide in a DM if we need to, but we have.
But that's still professional too. And not just saying, hey girl, instead of saying to whom it may concern, hey, my name is such and such.
Yes.
I've been watching you. I'm looking to do this. This is what I have to offer. People don't have shit to offer, so they don't know what to do in these emails. They just feel as though, like, she lit. And don't let them follow your business page and your personal page. They won't look at your personal page like they know you. And it's like, you don't know me in that manner to ever address me on my personal page. You don't. There's no shame.
You're crazy. I understand what you're saying.
Like, we're not friends.
We're not friends. See, I don't think of it that way. I let all my pages be whatever. But I do have people that literally, I remember I had somebody that wanted to work with me, and they DM'd all business pages that I own, all of them, like
so you get your
the ones
blocked.
They knew, and then emailed and then called customer support all within 10 minutes. I swear to you not. And my staff member that was working here at the time was like, so and so's on the phone for you. And I'm like, how do I even know I'm here? Like, what? And I was like, I was so frustrated with the fact that, like, we literally, it was DM after DM after DM. I was like, oh my God. So
it's excessive.
It was excessive, and it made it hard for me to need now pique interest in what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that people be patient, be mindful that people are working and they're really busy.
Yeah.
And that you're still calling businesses, you're still asking to work with businesses. You're not going to call Amazon 17 times and get a different answer.
Can you even call Amazon?
I don't even
do they even have a customer service number?
Like, you're not calling these companies and doing this. So just treat us with a little bit of, be mindful of that.
But they mindful, oh, they not a big brand, so they ain't got a staff, they ain't working.
So I'm gonna hit them up in this DM, and then this email.
They sitting around.
No, we're ready to respond. We respond within, we don't even do the 48-hour thing. We're
no, I'm gonna get back to you right away.
In moments, you don't, and if you DM, it's the same person that saw the email.
Yeah.
We got you. So I think that's something that drives me crazy, is when I get excessive emails. And I remember one time a couple weeks ago, oh my gosh, it was like one lady just kept emailing. It was like she was thinking of questions as she went, but she wasn't writing it out fully. So she was like, oh, and what you think about this? And I was like, wait, let's, and I was like, what's a good time for me to call you? Because now let's just go through everything. So I'm a caller. I'm a very anal person. So, okay, my next question about the BS. Do you have a time where you had an angry customer? Because I feel like, which we said a lot about, you know, what frustrates us from the standpoint of being the CEO, but I want our potential students and your students to understand what they might have to deal with angry customers, because we're talking about how we're not Amazon and we're not these companies, but I feel like sometimes we do live up to not being those companies by the way we respond.
Yeah.
I know I have before. So now I try to respond like the Amazon and like the CEO. So what's the time where shit just didn't go right with customer support?
It's been a few times. I thank God that we don't have a return. Like, we probably get a return probably every 3 months.
Oh, that's great.
Like, it's, and I'd be like, yo, they really, they, y'all solid. Like,
yeah.
Thank y'all. Because every time you'd be like, okay, now what's the problem?
Yeah.
And we don't do exchanges in hats. So it's like, you got to know your size. We send out a hat chart.
Yeah.
You got to know everything. So I had a client. She got a custom hat made. The custom hat takes anywhere between 2 to 5 days, depending on the week, the day you order it, how many hats we got in the lineup. And so she got the hat. This is not the color I asked for. This is not the size. Okay. You know, me being me, one of the staffs, they said, oh, this lady is in this email, and she sent a double email. And I was like, once you send one email, we see it. Give us a minute. You don't have to, that's like calling me 2-3 times. Like, give us a second to get back to you. Because now it's going to frustrate the person that's working on this, because they're going to feel as though, like, okay, hold on, like, you've been a little abrasive.
Yeah.
And so we reply, hey, this is the order sheet. This is the hat. This is the size. This is the hat you have. This is the size you have. Send us a picture of what you have. Send us a picture of the tag. Send us a picture of everything. Send us a picture. I said, is that not, like, I'll be wanting to be a little funky in the email, but I'm like, you know, we got to go about it the right way.
Yeah.
And she come to turn around like, oh, my apologies. I thought I ordered the maroon. Black and maroon is far.
At least she held herself accountable.
And she did. And so I said, you know, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. But this is why we send out order sheets within the package. And this is why we send the email once you get your confirmation with the same order sheet. Like, you're going to see this at least 3 times before you get your item.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to understand, even for the clients that come at the businesses, hey, think about, let me double check to see, did I do this the right way? Like, I could have did a slight mistake, or this could have been off slightly. Let me go over my tracks to really understand and be prepared to send this email. Not to say, oh, I got the wrong hat. But you also didn't send the style number.
Yep.
You didn't still send the order number. You didn't send anything, but I got the wrong email. You didn't address us. You didn't say who you were.
Like, so now we got to go through all of this. I can't help you effectively.
Right. So how are you going to give us? And we like, we love feedback from the people because you're shopping with us. Like, we want to give you a great customer service. So she could have just sent, came in and said, hey, I think it's a mistake. I think I ordered this. Let me, like, how can we fix this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let us give you the best service. Let us serve you.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can know for the next time how we can do this effectively right away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
I think I've had quite a few situations. Not anything. We've had a few people get a little bit crazy. I mean, we've been in business for a long time.
Right.
But for the most part, our customers are usually very happy. We have great reviews, great feedback. But I remember one time in particular, right when COVID was like starting to peak in LA, like right in March 2020. It was crazy at that time.
I'm sure.
That was the worst time ever.
I'm sure.
Like, you didn't know if you could even go into your office or not. Like, am I going to get arrested for doing this? I don't know.
No, legit.
Like, so I remember we had a customer that ordered the Kiwi Rugged set. It's a set. Now, that bothers the shit out of me. As a fashion designer, it really, and I don't take it personal, but, you know, this customer in particular couldn't understand that this was a set. I think I have it. Let me see if I can get up. Can I get up with my mic? Okay, hold up. Let me get y'all this set, because it's a set.
And she didn't understand that.
Where this damn set at? Let me show you the set. Okay, here's one of the sets in pink. Okay, this color is discontinued, so this color is a oldie. This is from a collab we did years ago.
Love her.
Yes, love this. So, y'all, this is a set, okay? It's a set. Just want to be very clear. So, I say this to say we had a customer order the Kiwi Rugged set off of our website, right? So, she orders the set, and a lot of people confuse this and believe it's a dress.
Which is this one here.
No, that's still the set.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a dress, but it's not. It's a set.
But it states that it's a set.
It states it's a set. I understand it looks like a dress when you put it together.
Yeah.
I see. Boom.
But also people don't take time to read.
They don't take time to read. So she wrote, I woke up to a paragraph on Insta. You know we're on the West Coast, so we're waking up behind East Coast, unless you're getting up dumber. Even at 5 a.m., the what East Coast.
They already gone.
They already gone if we get up at 5. So I get up at like 7. I wake up to this crazy, I mean, paragraph. These lying ass bees that own this store.
Ooh.
This is not a no, I ordered a dress and I got this set. It's false advertisement. I'm like,
You gotta reel yourself back.
So I respond to her and let her know that it was a set that she ordered. Mm-hmm. You can look at your invoice. It says set. You can look at the product online. It's clearly a dress. It's supposed to be a dress.
And no, like, nope. you can't tell us what the product is. And it says in clear form that it's a set. A set meaning two.
Yeah. But she was adamant. And I was like, well, are you satisfied with the fit? Yeah, but it's just not what I ordered. I said, okay. Well, I don't even, what are we really talking about?
Right.
Because you love the outfit. You're happy with it, but you're telling me that it's a set. I'm right. A dress and not a set. Like, what are we even talking about? So she proceeds, like, you know what? I'm going to just do a chargeback. So, okay.
I'm going to screenshot
And we
this.
Delete all your comments and all that good stuff. And then in addition to that, I get a call from some department of something in LA saying that we have been reported by a customer. Aww. That we have been open during COVID, which we have not. We never were. Like she said, we were
but
open.
Y'all don't,
like,
don't be open to the public.
Yeah, like you could still, it was certain restrictions, but like, I mean, she said we had a warehouse with hundreds of people and we were still working in COVID.
Tell her thanks for speaking that into existence.
Thank us.
Love that.
She put it, she went to town. We got a call. I just couldn't believe it. I was like flabbergasted at how far people will go.
The lengths that people take because of their mistake. Now you want to put that against us instead of taking the responsibility to say, oh, girl, I'm sorry. I didn't even read it. My apologies.
And she got denied for her chargeback.
She should have. You see, God,
I just couldn't believe I got a call that I had to explain myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you called the officials over a.
You called the law?
You called the law over a $99 Kiwi Rugged set
that you purchased.
You got exactly what you paid for.
Absolutely.
And then wart. That's what kicks me. Mm. Wart. So I think that was probably my most.
Yeah, you calling somebody on me is really giving.
When I got the phone call.
Okay, hold on now.
I got a phone call and I got a letter, a follow-up letter a few weeks later. Yep.
Oh, she was out to get the girls.
Oh, she wanted us shut down. And just to know you would do that for $99.
Exactly.
Ooh, you are not a regular girl.
Yeah.
At all. Okay. So before we go. Any more war stories? Like, do you have one story as a fashion entrepreneur that is your biggest war story? I know we talked a lot about product. We talked a lot about service too, about the clients and, you know, the expectations. But do you have one major war story that changed your entire dynamic of how you do business?
I have a few. Because I think every time something happens, I have to, like, pick it up for the next time so that it doesn't happen again. Which one do I want to pull out? You know, you'd be like, should I, like, they all right? Hit so differently. I would say dealing with a manufacturer.
Okay.
And you go in, you look at swatches. I went in for this particular swatch for this particular hat. I wanted it in 7 different colors. And legit, he was like, okay, yeah, the sample's going to be done within so many days. And I'm excited. Like, okay, this can be out within 2 weeks. Like, we can really move this.
Yeah.
And I go in, and we had everything, all the molds ready. We had all the swatches out, the colors, details on each. Come back and get the samples. It was like, did y'all not listen to what I said?
Yeah.
So now y'all want to haggle me and say, oh, you have to take this. Like, this is what, no, this is not what I did. But this is why I'm always a person to take pictures of everything that I do. This is what this is go with. This is what this one with. So I guess y'all all just push them together and realize, okay, we got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, oh, our apologies, this is right. Let us correct this and move forward. Then that also become a problem. Now I got to get another manufacturer. I got to go into another sourcing.
Delayed.
I'm delayed. Exactly. Now that we got a drop in another week and a half. Mm-hmm. Now we got to play catch up. Now we got to do a rush order. Now, it just becomes so many different things after their fuck up that you got to be like, okay, it's business. Move forward. Move on.
Yeah.
And so that kind of like had me like, okay, let me make sure when I'm giving these description, I'm very detailed. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing my bullets. I'm drawing my lines. Like everything is really clear to what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so from now on, it's like each product has its own page, has a picture, has all kind of trimmings on it. Yeah. I got all kind of writing on it. You can't fuck this up.
Yeah.
And I want to see it before it's finished.
Yeah.
I want to start seeing things right before. It
checking
going to final,
processes.
Yeah, before mm-hmm. it goes to the final production. Like, I really want, send me pictures, send me videos, let me see you spin it, flip, do everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one of my, like, throat, like, okay, I'm about to be out of business. I'm about to, like, have to do something else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, thank God that it turned around when it did, and it was good. But I know that at the time, I was like, oh, I need another manufacturer. Now yeah. I need to find somebody else. Now I'm delayed. It was just so much going on at once. I'm like, yo, like, is this really for me? Like, it was really one of the moments like, oh, bitch, this is sex for me.
I know that feeling. And mine was related to production as well.
Yeah.
The moment really where testing. I was like, I mean, I was having nightmares in my sleep. Mm-hmm. So when I first moved to LA, I underestimated God's plan for me. So okay. I was doing really low volume. I was, when I first moved here, I was still considerate low. I was getting like 30 or 50 sets made or dresses made. And literally, I mean, the week I moved into that little office across the street, when I used to be across the street, it was like the first 30 days. It went from 30 orders a month to like 500.
Yeah.
And I remember we took pre-order on a style that went crazy. We had an influencer wear it, and it was just a friend of a friend, and it went insane. We started running ads as well, and we couldn't even keep up. So we did all these pre-orders, and we had our production factory over in China, and Chinese New Year.
Delayed. And if
they
that
promised
was the same,
they we were going to have it done. It
that
was
Chinese
not done.
New Year, oh, she was something else.
Oh, Chinese New Year is killer. It's coming up, too. I'm already
Yo, now I know. Prepare. The first one, I'm like, what do you mean y'all not shipping? Y'all celebrating for a whole month? I'm confused. The New Year is one day.
Now, that's that bullshit, because that pissed
me off. That had me tight. That and then the government
shut
down.
And they shut down, like, January 8th to, like, February 15th. Like,
yeah,
you mean
time.
Done.
Yeah.
So, literally, they're telling me, okay, you're going to have the products. We're going to ship them by, like, January 3rd, let's say. It's, like, the 5th. They're like, we're sorry, we can't finish it. All the factory workers have went home for the holidays. We will ship it in February. So, now I have a guaranteed date of shipping of, like, February 1st, and I have no inventory. I cannot tell my customers that their stuff is not going to ship until like March, because you still have to wait for it to come off the boat from China, go through customs. So we're not going to get this product until like March now. So there's no way I can do this with a $129 product. So, I mean, the pre-orders were crazy. I had to find the fabric here, a pattern maker here to duplicate the pattern. Right. I mean, I was starting from ground zero.
All up again.
I found a production team that was able to get it done. And my staff at the time, we were all just starting. Like, we literally were building our own desk in that room. Like, we had just moved here. So I don't even know my way around. I can't tell you. I didn't even know Figueroa was pronounced Figueroa. That's how new I was to LA. I'm like, how do I get around this town? So I'm literally just Googling. I am in tears. Like, I'm about to be out of business. And I just announced this big relocation. And literally, when I tell you God came through, I found this angel of a product development team. They got 500 sets done in 3 weeks. And literally, as they were getting them done, the great thing is because they were local, we were able to pick them up, start shipping.
Pick them up, start shipping.
So I think that was my moment of hell. Yeah. And I do also have to say, employees have, I've been through some things with, I never had like too much stress, but I had to learn how to stop high enough of emotion because literally how it starts is how it ends.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any huge issues. It was just like a matter of like them respecting, you know, this young girl was my boss, and it's not even, I don't even like to say boss, but this young girl was my leader, and I had to follow her lead.
Like, this is her business, and I have to listen to her.
Well, I'm older than her. I can do this better. I had one, I remember she was like, oh, I interviewed a peer of hers that she had known for a position, and I didn't think she was the best fit right away, but I was like, oh my God. I remember after I interviewed her friend went home, and she was the girl that was working with me, she was still in there. And she was like, oh my God, we have so many orders today. I was like, dang, I wish I had some help for you. Like, hopefully we can find somebody. She said, oh, I just called my friend to come in and proceeds to pick up her phone to start texting her friend. And I was like,
no.
What are you doing? You would never do that if you worked at Nordstrom's or
not. You're not calling anybody to come in here.
To come in here and help you work.
And not, no, absolutely not.
What are you doing? Absurd. There are policies, there are documents you sign before you walk through the store. I couldn't believe it. And then I found out that person was doing that on their time, though they were having friends come up and visit and help, having them help pack orders.
Oh no.
Like, so that person had to go. So like, it's just crazy the stuff I've seen and witnessed. I remember when I was still in Baltimore, I had a girl that bought her boyfriend in the store, and they went in the basement and locked the door for like 40 minutes and came back upstairs.
Oh, this is good. You can clock out.
Day. Oh, it's, yeah, okay. And then,
no explanation, you can clock out.
She used to call out all the time and be at the day parties. Like, it was just, it's been absurd what I've gone through.
Oh yeah, a lot of people
if
don't want to work.
Y'all know what I have gone through to find staff, but also like, oh my gosh, like, it's just crazy.
It's a shit show, yeah.
It's a shit show. Like, I have a friend literally who has her own store, and she had to take a break from it because just it was so challenging finding staff.
Yeah.
I don't good think people staff. Realize how hard it is to find good genuine staff. People that have no expectation other than to do their job.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, I have stories on stories on stories.
Oh, I know.
Outside
I already
of
know
my
her.
Business, just other ones. So I want to leave y'all with the importance of planning and taking your emotion out of the business. I will never forget. I watched
it's
this
not
interview.
Personal at
it's
all.
It's not personal. I remember I watched this interview or this documentary rather on Beyonce, and I remember she wanted like these white candles for one of her performances when she was pregnant with like blue or whatever. And the room was lit up in all these different colors. And she said, I told y'all I wanted a white set. That's it. So she went to her creative team pissed. It was like 3 a.m. They didn't even know she was pregnant. You know, Beyonce is like, she's not
very
even human.
Quiet.
Like, I mean, she's, who does that though? Like, who has a whole performance pregnant? Like, she's not human. You're a different chick.
That's why she's who she is.
That's why she is who she is. Okay. King B, okay?
Yeah.
So she goes in the room telling them like, you know, I asked for white. And everybody's silent. She's like, does anybody hear me? And they're like, oh, yeah. And she's talked, and she was like, you know, I had to learn very early on when managing myself, because her father was a manager, and she had fired him at the time. And she was like, I had to learn that being polite and in business, they do not coexist.
Yeah.
They don't. And I still move with so much respect, polite. I'm very patient with my staff, but I have learned the importance of having stern conversations.
No, very stern, because I'm going to say it one time. And I don't want to have to say it again, because now we're delayed on time. I shouldn't have to come to you as an adult to say, hey, this is what I need done. Can you do this or not?
My
and if you can't do it, you're just not fit for the scene.
Yeah, I'm not even sitting on my step, but my team knows that, like, when I have to say, like, don't worry, I'll figure it out, that's like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
She's on the way. Like, it's to that point. Like, they ask me, like, are you coming in today?
And
like,
this.
Why? Be ready. No, but my staff
unexpected,
is
but be ready.
My team is amazing. My team goes overtime. Mm-hmm. My team is just, it's beautiful women that are so invested in their careers, and I can't wait to see. They teach me the importance of feeding into younger people. And one of them is only 27, but I got one that's 20, and I got one that's like 23, and it's just to see where they are. I can only imagine where they're going to be in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I thank God for the position I have.
And I always tell people, if you come to work with me, don't stay here forever.
You gotta go.
I want you to come here, get as much knowledge and as much information that you can as possible, and go and do your shit.
Yeah, because it's always somebody that, and you know what's crazy? One of my staff members that left last year, she was amazing. She did my product development, and she left to do her own product development company. She was so sweet. And I remember she said to me, she was like, you know what's crazy, Jess? Everybody that leaves here leaves and becomes an entrepreneur. Nobody leaves and gets a job. And that really stuck with me. And I was like, damn, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
So I instill in my girls, like when I'm teaching them, I speak to them as if I'm talking about their businesses. My assistant, Josie, she wants to be in bridal. So we were going over patterns the other day. And I told her, I was like, you know, it's very important for you in bridal. Everywhere we go, I'm like, you know, because when you do bridal, this is the fabric. When we do this. So I speak into their fruition and their dreams. I got one that told me, girl, don't even do all that with me. I'm going to be here. And I'm like, look, I ain't got no problem with it. But I never want you to get
also,
stagnant.
Don't get too comfortable
don't
where
you
can't leave. Like, I want you to learn.
I want you to grow.
And grow. Because I was never nowhere for too long. I got my knowledge.
I want you to grow.
It was also time for me to go to the next stage in my
life.
And I think that's how I'm able to be where I'm at now. I learned so much, and I was able. I'm still learning. I'm still able to wake up hungry and want to learn more.
Yes.
So it's like at that point, when you get to that point, then you can become the teacher. Then you can become the leader, and you can start having your own classes, and you can start having your own mentees, and you can start having your own, you know, people that's following your lead now. But you got to, we all got to start somewhere.
At
this point, it's giving. See y'all.
At this point, it's giving y'all good. I got to take my nap.
Literally, got to take a nap.
It's 4 o'clock. I got to go.
No, facts.
Like, that's what it's giving now. So, yeah, I'm beat. I used to be a girl that was up at 6 a.m. on set, and I could work till 9. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to eat. Now
I'd be like, I need to eat breakfast. I need a little smoothie. I need to work out in between. I need to run some errands. It's very much I need to really, I have to live my life and take care of me and
that's
put
it.
Self first, but also the business first. So, it's like two priorities at the same time.
Yeah.
But this business, this is why I have the team. Please look out. Please take care. Hit me if you need me. Don't call me asking where the staple is at. Don't call me asking where the tape at. If it ain't life and death, don't call me.
Literally, I had I had a team leadership meeting with my staff the other day because they were starting to hit me up a little too much. And I love my girls, but I had a meeting like, you know, let's discuss leadership and what your accountability is. I'm going to get you a business debit card so you can order your own tape instead of calling me. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to put you in this position. I'm going to give you more responsibility here. Just a little bit. But I literally already see. Sometimes I'm like, damn, they ain't hit me all day. Is anybody even at the office?
Y'all working?
Like, y'all working? Oh, I see orders decreasing, so y'all are shipping. Okay,
right.
Cool. So I had to learn that. But yeah, I think I want to just leave y'all with the importance of taking your emotion out of it. I know we're talking about all the BS that comes with it, and that is emotion related, but it is kind of contradicting what I'm saying to you right now. But take your emotion out of it and know that these are all war stories from when we used to keep our emotion in it. And
yeah.
You're a human. You're going to have emotion when things don't go right. You're going to be sad. I remember crying when production didn't come on time 2 months ago. But you have to understand, you have to move with love and grace. So when things don't go right, I can't yell at my manufacturer and say, you got me messed up and all these things. I have to figure out a solution with them. So understand that everybody that you pass or you meet on your way to the top, you got to meet them coming down. So it's very important that you move with grace, integrity, and just patience. So we covered a lot. So
we
y'all do your thing. Take these gems.
Please do.
And thank you so much, Desh.
Thank you. It's always a good time, like, just chatting with you. Like, it don't even have to be about work, but it's just always a good time. Like, it's love, it's family. So thank you for always having me. Keep doing your thing. Keep letting these girls, you know, learn from the best. And just keep being the boss lady that you are.
Thank you, Desh. I love you. I love you so much. And that wraps another entry of the Fashionpreneur Diary.
Oh, everything is so fast-paced and so fast. It's like, oh, you didn't take the time to go work in retail to understand how business works, to understand how boutique works, to understand how shipping works, to understand how the POS system works. You didn't take the time to go work at a job to understand these training skills.
Yep.